Well, we had a great week with Vacation Bible School, and man, do I really appreciate all of those who participated and helped in it. It was pretty neat. We saw a little girl being led to the Lord by the ladies that actually take care of the, what do they call them? Snacks, I guess. And they were pretty excited about that, and I saw a little JJ bow his head and receive the Lord. So it was just great to see the response of the children, as well as being able to get acquainted with some of the parents. And the fact that so many of you got involved, that was great. That really shows great things, according to Diane, and the way that she works so well with people. And she just brought in just about everybody. Thank you, workers, for your consistency and your faithfulness all during the week, and your ministry to those. I actually saw something very strange VBS, and if you don't show up during VBS, you're going to miss some really neat stuff. It was a dichotomy of sorts. It was, if I could put it this way, it was probably one of the most strangest things I've ever seen. I actually saw, and I know you're not going to believe me, but I actually saw a kosher ham. Yes, Marty played a Jew. And it was an amazing thing to see a kosher ham. So things actually do. There are miracles that happen at VBS, and you can be a part of that. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me to Amos chapter 2, Amos chapter 2, one of the questions that we're finally getting back to the questions, one of the questions that came across the desk was dealing with, once again, cremation. And probably the reason that this happens is from time to time I make comments on it, and I'm really don't want to get on a soapbox on it necessarily, or a crusade about it, but the question is, does God command us not to be cremated? There are a number of passages that we can look at dealing with cremation, and our time is going to elude us at this juncture, but I do want to mention some specific points. If you're looking for a specific command, I'd probably say no, unless it would be Amos chapter 2. Because if you turn me to Amos chapter 2, there's an indictment in this particular chapter against Moab, specifically for burning the bones of the king of Edom. It starts off this way in Amos chapter 2, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not revoke its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. That would be a cremation of sorts. So I will send fire upon Moab, and it will consume the citadels of Kerioth, and it will consume Moab, and he will die in tumult with war cries and the sound of trumpet. I will also cut off the judge from her midst and slay all her princes with him, says the Lord. That it would be just this one, if we could put it this way, crime that is mentioned within the text seems to infer that it is not necessarily that which God ordains. And as you look throughout the different ones, whether it's the patriarchs or the matriarchs that are that go home to their resting place, in every single case they are buried. There is care taking place in the burial, whether it's Abraham, Jacob, Sarah, or David, whether it's Jesus himself. There is care taken in the burial, and care taken of the body, and specifically the bones. You think of at the end of the book of Genesis, where the promise was made to Jacob, his bones would go back to the promised land. The same thing was given to Joseph. And Moses actually has the bones of Joseph with him, and promises to have them buried in the promised land as he passes them on. If you look with me in another passage to 2 Kings, in 2 Kings chapter 23, it reveals, as well as is mentioned in Chronicles, it mentions that it really is a curse of sorts, or a sign of a curse of great judgment, when those are buried and are actually dug up from their graves to be so. If you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 15, it starts off this way. Furthermore, the altar that it was in Bethel and the high place in Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, had made even that altar, the high place, he broke down. Then he demolished the stones, ground them into dust, and burned the Ashereth. Now when Josiah turned, he saw the graves that they were on the mountain, and he sent and he took the bones from the graves and burned them on the altar and defiled it according to the word of God, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these things. Then he said, "What is this monument that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the grave of the man of God who came from Judah and proclaimed these things which you have done against the altar of Bethel." And he said, "Let him alone." In other words, don't disturb the good prophet. "Let no one disturb his bones." So they left his bones undisturbed with the bones of the prophet who came from Samaria. Josiah also removed the house of the high places and the cities of Samaria, and the kings of Israel had been provoking the Lord. He did to them just as they had done in Bethel. And all the priests of the high places who were there, he slaughtered on the altars once again and burned human bones on them. Then he returned to Jerusalem. In every case, the burning of the bones is demonstrating a curse of sorts, or ultimately a sign of great judgment. So what we see throughout Scripture is that burial is that which I would say is a biblical standard for a funeral of sorts, the ultimate consummation. And cremation is that which really displays a great judgment upon the people. Last but not least, if you were to go to Jerusalem and look without past the southwest gate of Jerusalem onto the valley, it was often called the Valley of Gehenna. Jesus makes reference to this particular valley in which bones of the humans as well as many of the animals were thrown, and it was became a rubbish heap in which they would burn the discards, sometimes the discards of criminals in which would not have a proper burial, sometimes the discards of children, sometimes the discards of animals, and it would be a rubbish heap. Jesus would make reference to this as he would talk about hell. And he would say Gehenna. He would actually use the word Gehenna to describe hell. It was a place in which they would sacrifice children and burn them in the fire with Molech. And Jeremiah really shows a great disdain for that and declares it a cursed area. So the burning of bodies is always associated with a curse. And that's one of the reasons why we just encourage people not to go that route. We know that it's cheaper, and we know that it's easier in many cases, but it is one of those things that demonstrates a lack of respect for the body, and we just encourage people not to do it. Well, Father, we give you thanks for your word and for the demonstration of truth. Lord, we know that you know all things, and you know our hearts, even above the things that we do. You know stuff that we don't know and how we oftentimes do things without realizing. Lord, you see the heart and you will ultimately do what is right. We give you thanks that though even your saints are burned in the fire, you know where they are and you resurrect their bodies. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.